Kunigund, who was queen of love and beauty for the contest, tossed her kerchief, and the two knights spurred their mounts with a shout, leveling their lances as they closed. Emain cleverly deflected Eugen's point with the feet of his shield, and caught the other full on with his own. Eugen flew over his horse's rump and lay stunned on the field until the attendants carried him off. Kunigund rose to go to him, but Manfred restrained her with a hand on her shoulder. "Moi, we Kränken might enjoy this game," said Hans, "if the blows were not pulled."
"Times change," Max said. "In the old days the crowd would shout, 'Be cheerful,' and applaud any well-turned feat. Emain did good work with his shield in that passage, very prettily done. But now you hear them yell, 'Stab and attack!'"
Max suited gesture to his words.
"Poke out his eyes, chop off his foot!"
Hans waved his arm across the stands. "They cried no such thing." Max leaned forward to watch Thierry and Ranulf enter the lists.
"No, but elsewhere. Here, chivalry is not yet forgotten."
That evening Dietrich ventured into the lesser woods behind Church Hill, gathering certain roots and cuttings, the moon and he being both in the proper frame for such a task. A few herbs also had answered to the spring warmth, although the butterheads would not bloom for several months. Some plants he left whole, others he sliced and boiled to make a paste, still others he ground to powder with a pestle, and tied into muslin bags for infusions. He would make of these medicines a gift to Theresia. The unexpected offering would delight her, and she would invite him inside to talk, and they could restore the life they had had together. Dietrich prepared the salves and unguents in the kitchen outbuilding, while Joachim prepared also dinner, and the Kratzer warmed himself by the fire. The Kratzer questioned Dietrich closely about the attributes of each specimen, and Dietrich told him that this was a purgative and that was a simple against fevers. The Kränkish philosopher picked up a root that Dietrich had not yet washed. "Our alchemist," he said, "considered both too much and too little the future. He never proofed these substances, only those you offered us as food. Perhaps in one of these would have lurked our salvation." "Your salvation," Dietrich told him, "lies in the bread and in the wine." "Ja," said the Kratzer, still studying the root. "But bread of what grain? Wine brewed of which fruit?" "Ach, had Arnold persevered, he might have found the answer in this unpromising wood."
"One doubts so," said Dietrich. "That is mandrake and a poison." "As we will all learn," Joachim said from the kettle, "if you let it into my stew."
"A poison," said the Kratzer. Dietrich spoke.
"Doch, I have lately learned that it induces sleep and a relief from pain."
"Yet that which poisons you may sustain us," the Kratzer said. "Arnold should have continued his proofing. Our physician has not his skill at alchemy."
"What was it Arnold sought?"
The Kratzer rubbed his forearm slowly. "Something to sustain us until our salvation."
"The word of God, then," said Joachim from the fireplace.
"Our daily bread," said the Kratzer.
Dietrich thought the concordance too neat. The words he heard the Kratzer speak were only those that the Heinzelmanken had matched to Kränkish clicks and hums.
"What means salvation to you?" he asked the creature.
"That we should be taken from this world to the next, and so to our home beyond the stars, when your Lord from the sky at last on Easter comes."
"Faith is vain," said Joachim, "without charity. You must follow the way that is Jesus. Shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, comfort the afflicted, feed the hungry."
"Ach," cried the Kratzer, "could I but feed the hungry! Yet there is food which nourishes, and that which merely fills."
He rubbed his forearm slowly together, a sound like a grinding millstone, and hopped to the doorway, the upper half of which was open to the late afternoon, and stared out toward the lesser wood.
"I have never," he said after a silence. "Your word is wed, though among us it wants three to accomplish. I have never wed, but there are colleagues and nest brothers that I would see once more."
and now I never shall.
3, said Joachim.
The Crosser hesitated a moment, and his mandibles parted as if on the edge of speech. Then he said,
In our language the terms would mean the sower, the egg-maker, and the... The Heinzelmunken does not overset the word. Call it the wet nurse, though it nurses before the birth. Wah, wah, wah. We are truly der, die, and das. To watch one's niggling crawl into the nurse's pouch is said to be a profoundly moving experience. Ach, I have grown too soon old, and such matters are for the young. Mwah, mwah. Never more will I see my nest, brothers.
You must not lose hope, said Joachim.
The Crosser turned his great yellow eyes on the monk.
Hope. One of your inner words. I know what you signify by swine, or palfrey, or schloss, but what is hope?
When all else is lost, Joachim told him, it is the one thing you may keep.
At Theresia's cottage, Dietrich's knock was answered first by silence, then by a furtive movement by the shutters, then by the upper door opening. Awkwardly, Dietrich pulled from his scrip the bag of medicines he had prepared, and extended them to the woman who had been the only daughter in his life. Here, he said, I made these for you. One is a sleep inducement made of mandrake for which some instruction is required. Theresia did not take the bag.
What temptation is this? I'm no witch to deal in poisons.
The dose makes the poison, you know that, I taught you.
Who gives you this poison, the demons?
No, it was the Savoyard physician who treated Eugen. Only a chirurgeon, but Dietrich did not mention that. He shook the bag. Take it, please.
Which is the poison? I won't touch it.
Dietrich took the sponge he had infused with the Savoyard's mixture.
I wish you hadn't made it. You never dealt in poison before they came.
It was the Savoyard, I told you.
He was only their instrument. Oh, Father, I pray every day that you break free of their spell. I have asked for help for you.
Dietrich felt cold. Who have you asked? Theresia took the remainder of the bag from him.
I remember when I saw you first, she said. I could never remember, but now I do. I was very small, and you seemed enormous.
Your face was all blackened from smoke, and people were screaming. There was a red beard, not yours, but... She shook her head.
You snatched me over your shoulder and said, Come with me.
She began to close the upper door, but Dietrich held it back. I thought we could talk.
About what?
And she closed the door firmly. Dietrich stood silently before the cottage.
About anything, he whispered. He had longed so for her smile. She had always delighted in his gifts of medicine. Oh, Father, the child cried in his memories, I do love you so.
And I love you, he said aloud. But if the door heard, it did not answer. And Dietrich had barely dried his tears before he reached the parsonage at the top of the hill. Shortly before Vespers on Holy Thursday, a herald arrived from Strasbourg bearing a parcel sealed with ribbons, and with the episcopal arms impressed into bright red wax. The herald found Dietrich in the church, preparing for the morrow's Mass of the Pre-Sanctified, the only day of the year when no consecration was prayed. Warned by the Farspeaker, Hans and the other Christian Krenken, who were helping drape the crosses and statues in black, had leapt into the rafters and hidden themselves in the shadows above. Dietrich inspected the seals and saw no sign of tampering. He hefted it as if its weight would reveal its matter. That someone as august as Bertold II knew his name frightened him beyond measure. "Know you what this touches upon?" he asked the herald. But the man denied knowledge and departed, though with many a wary glance at his surroundings. Joachim, who was also helping in the church, said,
I think rumors have reached the bishop's ears. That man was sent to deliver a message, but he was also told to keep his eyes open.
The Krenken dropped to the flagstones and resumed their work with the shrouds.
Gottfried, last to drop, said, "Shall we give him something to see?" Then he departed, laughing.